So during this week, I literally had that emerging idea of the caterpillar into the butterfly. And I knew it. Somehow it's going to show up in a way that sort of, qualifies that, hey, Gail, you are on the right path in a sense. So thank you so much. That was a perfect, and congratulations on your song. That's awesome. And one of the reasons I was thinking about the caterpillar, the stages where they go through to, the metamorphosis stages, was because this week's topic is on spiritual growth. And so, as you know, I am originally from Tobago, from the islands of Trinidad and Tobago. And this small island actually taught me most of what I know about spirit, maybe even before I even opened a textbook, right? And I want to be really honest from there, because my life is not really a performance to say, okay, I can judge it from stage to stage. But, I am not here to teach spiritual growth in a sense, or even to measure spiritual growth. But, I'm here to just share what I know about me, So from the perspective of spiritual growth, it is not about me or anybody, I guess, arriving somewhere. It's about recognizing who I am already. And yes, it probably took a path to get there, but it's not even about getting there. It's basically about now. Where am I now? Who am I now? So I'm not really behind. I am not in front. I am just here, right here, right now. Right. So from the perspective of, kind of sensing as to where do I want to go? And that's some of the things I was thinking about during the week. Where do I want to go with this? And that's where the whole idea of the metamorphosis kicked in. But I want to take it into a different space, a little different space today, because I think I've been told too many times that growth means going deep, growth means going under, growth means going into dark places, the metamorphosis kind of thing, right? But what if growth was about going wider, bigger, broader, right? About staying right where you are, but seeing more of who you are. And seeing more of who I am, not from the literal physical perspective, because I rather not see that, but seeing more of who I am from the perspective of the idea of the immensity of where I am, how I got here, and moving into a space with a broader sense of presence, right? So I am here, very willing to stand in a way where you could possibly understand where I am and how I got here. So from that perspective, spiritual growth for me is about how I continued to orient myself, right? So back home in Tobago, I learned about spirituality first as a Methodist. I did my confirmation. I did the work in church. Then I went on to, the spiritual, the gospel type of teachings, and learned that, okay, in order to be a Christian, you have to be saved. And I taught that message for quite a while to others, and thinking that I was part of the elite crowd, that I'm saved and I want you to be saved, kind of thing. And so I'm glad that that cut short very quickly for me, because I was a teenager and I had spent maybe most of my teenage years in church. And when I became early 20s, they decided to put me out of church just because I started wearing lipstick. And because I pushed back on that, they kind of discontinued me from church, and I'm like the best thing that ever happened to me, right? So from that perspective, I started moving into a space where, listen, I am who I am. I know that God is within me, and I allowed that to just sort of sorted in me, right? So growth is learning for me from the perspective of staying present when everything in me wants to just abandon me, right? So a lot of the things that I moved into, the conversation kind of got very uncomfortable very quickly because a lot of emotions came up. A lot of the idea of who I am came up. A lot of the idea of feeling dismissed came up, right? And so growth was in the moment, at that time, was non-existent in a sense, but I was brave. And for some reason, I held on to the idea that if this is such a loving God, then why am I, disconnected from the church? What happens now to me and God, right? So I kind of went through that stage, and so I recognize that growth is recognizing the difference between what I was taught and what I know. The idea that I still had this deep sense of knowing, this deep sense of loving, this deep sense of caring. Even growing up at home, all I had were my cousins. So my mom and my uncle, they each had 8 children, so we had 16 children, including myself, in one big plain field of a yard. Their house here, our house here, and that's all I knew in growing up. And all my cousins would be bringing me the ducklings and the chickens, and they would be, asking me to bury the dead ones, and so a lot of Gail, who Gail is now, actually happened very early in her life. And I didn't even recognize that, okay, they may have seen something different in me. But I was the pastor, I was the minister, I was the counselor, I was everything. They brought everything to me. And I really followed through with the rituals and, who is going to dig the grave and who. But I always did the burial, and I always did the revival of the chicken or whatever by pounding a stone over a tin can and said that it's going to wake up with the noise and so that kind of stuff. So from that perspective, my growth, literally sort of stayed stable. From the perspective of what I knew, I didn't know I knew it, but from the perspective of love, from the perspective of, God is not going to desert me when other people desert me, especially coming from such a traumatic space. I was willing to move into any type of change, right? And so when I came to America many, many years later, I decided to kind of try the Baptist church, And then the Baptist church worked out because it was free and I was able to dance. I could wear lipstick and makeup. I could do all this stuff. And it was not a big deal because this is a different church. And then one day, I was doing the praising. And I mean, I was really with it. And then I realized, oh, why is it so quiet? I was the only one standing with my hands up in the air, and I was just feeling this powerful feeling emanating from me. And in a way, I did feel embarrassed because obviously nobody said anything, but then the preacher couldn't say anything until I sat down, and I didn't know all of that had to happen. But I was in a space where I was absolutely feeling magnified from my deep within. And that was the last day I went to church, to that church. But it wasn't the last day because that experience opened something huge in me. That experience literally sent me to bookstores. Every day I went to a bookstore. Every day I'm looking for in the self-help parts of the bookstore, but it's like particular books, right? I had already w read Wayne Dyer's Your Erroneous Zones, right? And that kind of started some form of tickle in me that, hey, I am my own agency. I bring in and I'm responsible for my feelings and my emotions and all that stuff. So I had a kind of a concrete feeling about it. However, the idea that I just kept l being led to these bookstores, and every day I would go, or at least two or three times a week, sometimes I would go. And nothing would satisfy me until one day I went into a Borders bookstore and found this big old book called The Science of Mind. And I couldn't put it down. It was too expensive, but I said, I'm going to spend my very last money and I'll bring this book back because if it's not the book I want, I am never going to keep this book. And that night I got that book. I could not put it down, and till now, it is like it was like a synchronicity type of feeling. The feeling I had in the church is like it was satisfied with that book. And so from that perspective, I'm like, who is this Mr. Ernest Holmes? I was loving on this man. I was kissing this man. I was saying sorry to his wife for being like the way I am, knowing that this man is, he's gone and all that. I didn't even look to see, the biography and all that stuff. But I loved the book so much. I connected it with it so much. And so from that perspective, I realized that there is something more about spirit and spirituality. There is something more about growth and my willingness or my pull or my opening, right? And so, I moved in and, moved into a space where, what should I say? Where it was not about winning anything. It was about where am I and who am I at this point in my life. And so, there's a day, and it might not come all at once, but it might come in pieces when I have realized that people did the best they can, that my parents did the best they can. And I came to the realization that whatever happened, yes, I can't re erase it, but whatever happened has happened. And I was able to release that and to start to move on from a place of remembering, because that feeling I got in the church, It was literally a remembering of who I am, right? And I didn't know how to put it into words, but science of mind, Ernest Holmes, was the beginning of putting that wisdom, that idea of who I am. That was what was teaching me that, hey, my body already knows, my mind already knows. And it was an amazing opening. So where I came from, obviously, it's a long history, it's a lived life, and the one thing I know I could never turn back on is what has happened in my past, right? And so from my past, I could easily release, but does that divorce me from what has happened? No, it has not divorced me, but it has moved me into a space where I now feel and I now know that I don't need to have a building. I don't need to have the idea of even a congregation to move me into a space of remembering, right? And so remembering is literally about is about being in the understanding, being in the knowing that God is. And if God is, if I open up to the idea of the isness of God, then guess what? It permeates me. It opens me. It sort of brings clarity and understanding to if God could be in this place, in this now here, then, and if God is everything, and if God is always, then I am that. And so I got really strong knowing about that, really strong understanding coming from a place of deep spiritual support, from that basis. So my life actually has been a continuum in a sense, right? My life has been moving moving from space to space, from time to time, but it has been a continuum. And that continuum is what actually has given me the idea or the permission to stay steady. It has given me the idea of this is who I am in God. This is God as Gail in human form, not performing, but being, right? Not in a space where I am having to give, what's that word? I'm having to give accountability for myself or anything like that. I am just in a space of this is Gail who is currently present, right? And even though I don't even think that I may be present, there is that presence that cannot not be present in a sense, right? So sometimes I may lose my way by saying, this doesn't work or that doesn't work. And that's when I feel the disconnection in some ways, right? But if I move into a space where I am saying, well, right here, right now, this is who I am, then for some reason, and with the breath, and with the way that I am open to accepting, when I say that this is who I am now, is literally moving me into the knownness, the isness, the godness, the consciousness, in a sense, of who I am. And obviously Ernest Holmes had talked about consciousness as love, right? And so if I am here right now, then I am recognizing myself as love. If I am here as you call another quality, right? If I'm here as what? If I'm here as, let's say, goodness, right? If I'm here as goodness, then how does goodness show up? It cannot show up in any other way except in me and through me, right? Or as me. And so that's how I started moving myself along. And from one stage to the other, I just kept growing. I just kept becoming more aware. I just kept learning more idea of who God is and how God shows up in my life. And how God shows up is only when I remember who God is. But I can't remember who God is unless I know who I am, right? And so from that perspective, like when Connie touched on the lifeguard situation where the lifeguard said, "Of course, always, right? What touched me wasn't just the sweetness of it, it was the recognition beneath it, right? That love, that real love, wasn't something that came and go. He said always. So even though you think he didn't have his eyes on her in the pool, yes, she was alone and it's easy to pick up that something is going on. No, he said always, right? And so from that perspective, that love was re that is what real love is about. That is r real love is always present. And it isn't something that comes and goes. It isn't something that we earn. It isn't something that appears and then conditionally it might appear again. It is the reality of it always, right? And so that's the kind, that is the field that we live in, the field of intelligence, the field of nature, nurture, the field of goodness, the field of, you put in those words that you are, that you're feeling or sensing, and that's it, right? Because if it's present in one place, it's present in every place. And so it's the nature of reality itself, and it is the intelligence that is expressed as us in us. And so, what landed in me was that if love is truly eternal, if it is existent in one place, then it exists in every place. If it is present in that one simple exchange at a pool, it's present in me, it's present in you, and it is present in every moment we walk into, right? So today is, I'm not trying to reach for love. I know I am love, and I am recognizing the love that is already there, right? And so people say, well, you don't show love, you don't look love, you don't. It doesn't matter how it shows up. Yes, the behavior may not exemplify the core idea behind who we are, but it doesn't take away from the fact that this is who I am at my core, right? And that's why we in our lives could autocorrect, right? Because one moment never defines us. Maybe a period of time never defines us. And so don't allow external, I'm saying don't allow, but I encourage you not to allow anything external to interfere with the idea that this is who I am. And our spiritual growth is mainly to make sure that, well, not to make sure, but our spiritual growth is actually a journey. And when I say a journey, it's about just about remembering, bringing ourselves in a space where this is a recognition. And I encourage you to put any quality that you want to see happen in your life, any quality that you are calling forth in your life, and moving that into recognition of who I am now, right? And so, from that perspective, I'm recognizing the love that is already here. From Connie's perspective, that love would have been like an effusive love that this guy, this person has the presence. This person has the capacity. This person has the allness of consistently looking out, right? Consistently making sure there is safety. Well, that consistency is what we are dealing with. That consistency is the idea and the truth behind anything at all that we live, right? So regardless of what our experiences are, love is the thing that is our base. We cannot even negotiate with it. This is who we are. How we show up, we can have behaviors to emulate love. We can have behaviors that, other people can judge us and say, "Ooh, that's nice and loving." But what if a person doesn't have those behaviors? Then what, right? Well, I have to tell you today that that person is pure love. And their behaviors do not define the idea of their pure love. And so this is one of the biggest recognition that I've had in my spiritual growth, is that how God shows up is my core. It is my beingness. It is who I am. And my work, my journey is to keep those idea of God, depending on where I'm going in my life. But my journey is to remember that the truth behind it all is that I'm eternal. The truth behind it all is that I am unfolding. The truth behind it all is, whatever words you want to put in, all right? And so from that basis, I am going to close off, and we can have a conversation about that after, and I'll figure out how I'm going to do that. But if it makes sense, and you can ask questions after, just remember that there is nothing you can do to not be the love that you are. There is nothing that you can do to not be the powerful person that you are, because all those qualities that we describe God as, that's it. That's it. It's you. And the quicker we embrace and endorse that, is the quicker our presence is, the quicker we show up, is the faster we move into the idea of resonating that with the world, resonating what we are bringing in, resonating the things that we stand for, right? And so this is a big part of prayer as well, right? What we want, we already have to know that it is already there. And so how do I resonate with that? Okay. And so it's about, just remembering that I am already it in a sense.